What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, we're going to do a few more calls. We're going to get Ben on, and then Mark Rippon will be our guest at 12:35, 12:40. So Rip's going to call in. I think he's excited as well. So we'll get the last starting quarterback in an NFC Championship game on the phone with us in about 30 minutes. But let's rip through some of these calls. You guys have been waiting, and I really appreciate it. Let's do DC. DC's calling from Orlando. DC, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Great day, Kevin, man. I'm going to leave you with quotes from three of your favorites that you've been on the air with. But I just want to say a movement has been started. I know everybody uses the word winning culture has been started, but a movement has been started. And it's been started with a winning mindset. Jaden Daniels didn't come to the league to be called a rookie and whatever, whatever. And he even took the opportunity to earn his position. He wants to win and win now. Dan Quinn wants to win and win now. Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury wants to win and win now. Joe Witt wants to win and win now. Adam Peters wants to win and win now. Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, it's a movement. And now my kids have a track meet. They're staying up watching the game. My That's dad, awesome. We're working in Orlando, Florida. He's out there watching the game. Shout out to the people that bought the TVs, Gator, and my man Champ that had TV set up at their spots so my dad could watch the game. It's a movement, and everybody is with it because winning is one of the most great feelings we can have. And I just want to say I look forward to Cream continuing to rise to the top, and I'm going to go to Philly, put our foot on their necks, so after the game with this W, I can have my toes in the air with my sausage sandwich.
That's a quote that I was waiting for. Thank you, DC. Yes, this has been no rebuild, and they said it from the beginning. This was a recalibration, and we've been recalibrated. Oscar in Bethesda. Oscar, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. At last, I can speak to you. I'm so grateful. I don't know if you received my messages, etc. The story with me is that I arrived in America in 1993. And obviously, I became a Redskin fan, enjoyed the football, etc. But for 33 years, I've been suffering. Then a miracle arrived, and Jaden Daniels arrived. And just before this, my son-in-law promised us that he would take me and my grandson or his son to the Super Bowl. If we get to the Super Bowl, Kevin.
Well, that's going to be one hell of a trip, Oscar.
Oh,
the
God.
Super Bowl last time Washington was in it was in a lovely place, no doubt, Minneapolis, St. Paul. But I was there the entire week, and it never got above 10 degrees. So New Orleans would be quite the trip, and let's hope we get there. I'm glad you and your son and your grandson and everybody in your family finally got to experience this.
Just one final remark.
Sure.
When I arrived here, I was 58 years old. I'm now 89 years old.
Oh, my God. You sound great. You sound great. And New Orleans would be a great trip for you and the family. Let's hope. Thanks, Oscar. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Ronnie. Ronnie, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I didn't get to sleep late Saturday night. I couldn't fall asleep. It is amazing not to live in suspended reality at this point. That pass to Donnie Brown, I swear to God, it's like Bugs Bunny playing the Gas House Gorillas. I couldn't in my lifetime, I've been a fan of this team for a long time, never seen nothing like it. I do have one thing to say. Sunday, before the Eagles game, they were doing a little pre-thing right before the kickoff. It was Brian Dawkins and I can't remember who it was, but he said something about us in the middle of it. Like, why are you talking about us before the game even started? I thought the scene was very disrespectful. So I want to go out there to Philly, and let's take this. We got this, and I'm excited, and I'm just glad. Thanks for taking my call, Kev.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you mentioning suspend reality. I mean, Tommy and I have been saying now for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years that, you know, people would say, why are you even talking about this team? Because they've got no shot. And I'd say, well, we suspend reality. And then we have conversations as if we're a real franchise. Because what else were we going to talk about? But that reality and the suspension of is no longer necessary. I don't know what you're talking about. Were Philly players? I mean, that's Brian Dawkins. He's not a current player. Look, I would love it for Philly to be as fired up that their opponent is Washington as maybe we are. Having a rival, a chief rival, playing three times in a year is one of those benefits that you get from being good, you know, year in and year out. Let's hope that continues. Brian in Tacoma Park. Brian, go ahead.
You ran a successful business before you got into radio. How is it that you have not been selling back-end gangsta merchandise?
That's not my specialty. But yeah, look, you know, I don't want to even get into the whole complexity.
All right. Okay.
Of
that's fine.
The situation.
That's fine.
But go ahead.
Listen, I did not have a Redskin belt buckle when I was a kid, but I did have a Redskin ski cap that you could usually get from Roy Rogers with a promo. And I was always pissed, you know, when I would get into a snowball fight or a wrestling match, or maybe get caught in a school bus door and the pom-pom would come off the top. And I look over at the side at Jaden, calm, cool, collected. He's wearing a ski cap and the pom-pom is on there and it's secure. I feel like the pom-pom is back on now. And what I liked is that finally we're playing chess and not checkers or bidwit. Specifically, why are they always going for it on fourth down? Well, there's a reason for that. And I don't think a lot of people are looking at the analytics the way they're looking at the analytics. But if you keep going for it on fourth down, whether they score or not, you're going to control the possession and the time of possession on the clock. How many times have you watched a game and you said, oh, my God, they've got the ball for 8 minutes. They've had the ball for 11 minutes. They had the ball for 15 minutes in one game. He said, well, we got this because they're controlling the possession, and they believe that. They don't go for it on fourth down on their own 10-yard line. So when you watch these games, they have a confidence in their offense. They trust their guys to get 2 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards. And that's really what I like about it, the fact that they keep going for it. You know, I don't think that the nickname Riverboat Ron, I think that was a pejorative, to be honest with you.
It was a bit. I agree with that.
Yes, because he didn't know if he was going to make it or not.
He didn't know what would make it. Yeah, this was not his area of true strength, like understanding strategically when it made sense and when it didn't.
Yes, DQ gets praise for always going for it, and it says a lot about the offense, and at this point, frankly, the defense, that we can stop somebody if we don't go for it.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but I agree with you. Look,
the
total X factor is, like we've said, with everything related to not only the team but the franchise at this point, is Jaden. When you have that quarterback, fourth down analytics, I had somebody from an actual NFL team's analytics department tell me that one of the big misnomers when you get these fourth down analytics, go for it or not go for it, it's based on a league average. Well, the league average has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson on fourth down or Josh Allen on fourth down or now Jaden Daniels on fourth down. It is team specific. In turn, you can't go from, you can't make decisions based on NFL historicals or even league historicals from that season if you've got Jaden Daniels versus having Kirk Cousins, who's not going to, you know, tush push or make something happen with his feet. By the way, I found this stat. Somebody put this out, and somebody sent it to me. Who is it? Austin Gale. Have we had Austin on the show before? I think we may have. The Commanders have converted now 81% of their fourth downs this season. So wait a minute. 4 for 5. Well, they were 3 for 4 technically. 4 for 5 with the 4 for 5 counts with the penalty. They were 4 for 5, so they're 80%. Weren't they 86%? Did they drop to 81? Whatever. 81% fourth downs this season. With the tush push last year, the Eagles were only 66% on fourth down. It is an historic fourth down season for Washington. There are lots of reasons for it. Keep in mind, you know, some of it may have had to do with some of the opponents that they faced. And that goes into this strategic decision-making as well. Detroit stunk on defense. Did coming in and did Saturday night. All right, Ben Standing next and then Mark Rippon after that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And I know, like, you can get into actually two part, but how you would place him. But also, I am curious about Jaden and just his play against the blitz. He's been good against that all year, but I'm curious if there's some plays that happened the other night that kind of highlight his growth.
He lives in that space of like intense pressure, where like the mental chaos is raining down, and it's way outside of the comfort zone. It's anything but comfortable. But for him, that's awesome, man. He loves that space, and he has the mindset that has to be implemented into those moments. And so whether that was a, you know, end of a half or an end of the game or beating a blitz, checking a protection. And I think probably, John, the one of the areas of growth doesn't always have to use his legs and athletic ability to react to it. If he can see it pre-snap, reset a protection to one spot, and then get the ball to the player, that's a big deal. And that's an area of growth that I've certainly seen, and he's just one of the best competitors I've ever coached. And so it leans into growth as well, you know, of improvement and finding ways to improve. So, but I was thinking about him today, and that spot where it's intense pressure is honestly like it's awesome. It's where he lives.
That was Dan Quinn yesterday on the day after press conference with the beat reporters, John Keim answering the question. You know, I thought about, and we let Ben Standing onto the show, or Washington Insider. He's with us every Monday. Mark Rippon's going to join the show, by the way, in about 10 to 12 minutes. I was thinking about, you know, like you and I had talked about this early in the year when things were going really well and they were 4-1 and then they were 7-2 and then they faced that stretch of, you know, the Steelers and the Eagles in a 4.5-5-day period playing two teams who at the moment were playing very good defensively. They lost both of those games. They were winnable games. Washington had fourth quarter leads in both of them. But then when they lost to Dallas, I remember the conversation, and I forget if it was with you, but Denton and I had it. This is the first thing we haven't seen. We haven't seen him face true adversity. Three-game losing streak. He didn't play that well against Philadelphia. He didn't play that well in the first half against the Cowboys. And he's answered it now with seven straight wins and seven straight, basically, you know, A performances, take the Dallas first half out. And then we got into the one-and-dones, Ben. Well, we've never seen him play in a one-and-done game. Well, now we've seen two of them. It's been all season long, but put it in your words, you were there on Saturday night. They're going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, you know, whenever we're all asked, you know, at the start of something, you know, what do you think's going to happen? You know, what do you compare this to or compare the player to? You know, we have to go off of things that we have seen before or versions of history, right? So if we're here, a lot of the comparisons initially were to RG3, who had, you know, in 2012, you know, the best rookie season many of us had seen, and certainly, you know, the best, right, in this franchise. And we know how it ended, but that first year, you know, hard to knock too much of what happened. So how does Jaden compare to that? Okay, then it got to the point where, wow, you know, he's even exceeding this. He's a better pocket passer. There's certain intangible factors, and we can avoid the, you know, the calm, the poise, the better fit in the locker room, we'll just say, than maybe RG3 ultimately turned out to be. Okay, cool, that's RG3. Now you get to the next stage. What about other historic rookie quarterbacks and seasons that they had? Okay, now past that. Then it's, okay, well, wait, what about the quarterbacks in this league? Where does he fit in with the rankings there? And, you know, you start, okay, well, let's not go too crazy, right? You know, he's in, you know, is he better than what Baker Mayfield's doing, the historic Dak Prescott? Yeah, I think so, but let's see where this goes. And now, going through all of this, we're now having to go outside of the NFL. I mean, I think, like, you know, for me, I think in all sports, the best rookie season that I always could remember is ironically the guy who's a part owner of this team, and Magic Johnson with the Lakers, capped off by, you know, the 42-point 15 rebound.
Game six playing center.
Game six playing center. And it's just like, oh my Lord, you know, what are we witnessing here? And that is kind of where we're at here. This is beyond unprecedented to see somebody like this because he's performing in a calm, largely mistake-free, under-control way. We don't see 10-year veterans do consistently to the degree that he is. And, you know, the other rookies have now reached the level where he is with the championship game. If you go back and look at at those seasons, those quarterbacks were largely tacked on to a really good team, particularly with really good defenses, et cetera. This isn't that. I mean, no disrespect to the defense, and they did their job the other night. The Lions had over 500 yards of offense and 200 on the ground. Teams have been moving the ball on Washington all year. And, you know, Terry McLaurin, generally aside, the offense, when we get to the offseason, whether that's next week or after they win the Super Bowl, which is a crazy thing I can say legitimately, we'll be discussing, well, where do they make some upgrades because they still need some. And yet here they are. And this kid is, you know, it's not all him, but man, he talked about the straw that stirs the drink. He's doing things that just never seemed possible for a rookie to make that would make any sense. And he's just doing it week in and week out. It's just amazing.
No, there is no doubt that we're now in a conversation that even those of us who were bullish on his, you know, chances to even show well early, that nobody had. He is not only just completed the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL, like you said, putting it in the context of sports, probably the greatest rookie season in the history of sports. You mentioned Magic Johnson. I'll just mention real quickly because he's local, the late Wes Unseld, not only won Rookie of the Year, but won MVP in his very first year in Baltimore. But that aside, and then also the conversation of, well, wait a minute. Like, who would you actually take in front of him? Well, nobody is the answer in the NFC. He's clearly the best quarterback in the NFC. That now isn't even debatable. What's debatable is where he ranks among Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen. And he's in that group here. And we'll have time to do this afterwards, but the team results, I think you pointed out, I mean, there have been six other quarterbacks who have made NFC, or five others that have made NFC or AFC championship games. They had, in order, Purdy had the number one defense, Sanchez had the third-ranked defense, Flacco had the third-ranked, Ben Roethlisberger had the first, Sean King had the third, Jaden Daniels right now, DVOA-wise, has the number 23 defense in the NFL and the number 26 defense against the run. This is unheard of what he's doing. And then you've had a chance to deal with the person and hear what everybody else is saying about him, and it's been positive all year. I want to ask you this. During the game yesterday, and you and I actually saw each other yesterday, Ben and I had coffee yesterday. We just kind of ran into each other in the same parking lot. Who did you want? Forget the travel for your job. Who did you think, as you were watching the Philly Rams game, was a better matchup for Washington?
Well, I guess the variable is what's up with Jalen Hurts, right? Because
big variable, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, look, I wouldn't want to face Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay figures out ways to take advantage of Washington's weaknesses without trying to over-trick everybody the way I think Ben Johnson did too often in that game. You know, Stafford's obviously, one of the better passers of all time. There was receivers, yada, yada. And their defense has obviously been really getting better and better. I mean, that would seemingly still be the better matchup for Washington, plus half that crowd in L.A. would be Commanders fans. But I go back to the point from the beginning of this preseason or the postseason when we didn't know in week 18 would they face Philly, would they face Tampa, would they face the Rams. And I was constantly hearing from people that there's something to be said for familiarity, to know the opponent, that you've already seen this opponent, and that can be, you know, especially on these quick turnarounds, a big advantage. Well, Washington has played Philly twice. They haven't played the Rams. So if you told me Jalen Hurts is not 100%, I honestly weirdly think it might be Philly.
I agree with you.
But, Philly yesterday's game was almost a little hard to say, right, because of the snow. It was such an odd variable. And you know, Philly's defense is, you know, still got a lot of talent. And, you know, the first game against Washington, which is not that long ago, but feels like 12 years ago, you know, they kind of, you know, for the most part, took control of that game, especially in the second half. The second game, they were winning when Hurts got hurt. And then, you know, they were still winning until the last 6 seconds, even with Kenny Pickett. So not dismissing that at all. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, I always use the example, and this is a Washington-Philly example, that Villanova beating Georgetown is not the biggest upset in sports, because Villanova had played Georgetown numerous times and were not right. intimidated by that matchup. And that's what we're looking at here. I mean, there's no way Washington, based on what we've seen already, is going to go into Philly and think, oh, no, now what? You know, they know this team. They played them well. It's not, you know, I get why the odds makers are making them a 5-point underdog. But, yeah, I think their chances are, you know, very strong to win.
All right, I got a minute left with you. Sorry to keep you short, but we've got Mark Rippon coming up. Sam Cosmi's out. Were there any other injuries that are concerning?
Not that I'm aware of. That's the only one that Dan Quinn talked about. Obviously, he doesn't have to talk about injuries until Wednesday, but he did reveal Cosmi would be out for the year. I think that's such a big one, not only because Sam Cosmi is – you know, arguably their best offensive lineman.
Jalen Carter.
Position. Yeah, to have to go up against Jalen Carter and for Washington's backup to be, is it Trent Scott, a tackle, who they use a guard? The other options are, you know, either inexperienced or don't play. So this is a real tough one. But as far as I know right now, Cosmi is the only one that is, like, up, you know, of note.
And just real quickly, tell everybody what that scene was like, how loud it was in that building Saturday night.
It legitimately felt like, especially in the first half, that you were in, like, at the airport, and you could hear the planes coming in and out. Like, it was incredibly loud, which is another aspect of this that Washington had, you know, basically almost no false starts, you know, illegal motions. Like, they, you know, Jaden was calm, like, they didn't have any issues with that, despite it was incredibly loud, which made the silence later, where you could hear Washington fans chanting defense at times, all the sweeter for the Washington side, because you knew you weren't just beating the Lions, you were shutting down 65,000 people who wanted you and had nothing but bad thoughts for you.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate you doing this. We will have you on maybe a couple of times more this week if you've got time.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X. The Athletic, Standing Room Only is his podcast. Mark Rippon next after these words from a few of our sponsors.
Third and 10. Four-man rush. It's Goff throwing over the middle, and it's picked off Jeremy Chinn. And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Kevin Burkhart, along with Tom Brady, on the call Saturday night. Yeah, 33 years ago, Washington was already, at that point, destined for Super Bowl 26. They had already won the NFC Championship game. But that's the last time they played in an NFC title game, and the starting quarterback for our Washington Redskins in January of 1992 was, of course, Mark Rippon, who would go on to not only destroy Detroit 41-10, but win the Super Bowl MVP against the Bills. How are you? It's been a while. How excited are you for the results of the team that you are most known for?
Wow, what a fun year! Especially these last 8 or 9 weeks. I really feel, you know, when Jaden got hurt, probably third, fourth game of the year, Kevin, and had a couple of off outings. I was due to just injury than it was anything else. And then what he's done this year has been beyond even incredible. I think for a guy that maybe played the year 10 years in the league, he's done it at a level that I've never seen and a calmness I've never seen out of anyone this young in my life. And it's just been so wonderful. And you couldn't be more proud of a guy and a team and the culture and the coach and a organization and Josh Harris and everything that than this year.
Yeah, I mean, putting all of the complexities of the name and everything, because I know you feel kind of the same way I do about it. It is just nice, though, for this city and this fan base, which you know and you can identify with, to have the stage to, that they're on this upcoming week, and maybe again 2 weeks later. It's amazing how long it's been. What do you remember about 33 years ago, heading into the NFC Championship game, and then, you know, being at sort of the center of this town and the NFL universe, for all that matter?
One thing you remember is and always look back on is the bar was very high. So, you know, coming into that NFC Championship game, you know, there was a high level of football that was expected in Washington, and anything less of going to an NFC Championship game or deep into the playoffs was a bad year, never mind a Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I think we really had a focus right from I wouldn't say the preseason. I sat out some of the preseason, came back in, didn't play particularly well, but as you all know, we basically are the most vanilla team in the NFL. Joe Gibbs doesn't want to show anything to anyone at any point in time. So we started out the season, taking apart Detroit, and then finished it with taking them apart again. I felt kind of bad. I mean, what a year they had, too, and take nothing away from the Lions this year and how they played. They're just so depleted on defense, but it was a great run for us. Obviously, Tony Kornheiser followed it, you know, on the Washington Post each and every week about jump on the bandwagon. I think people are getting back on that bandwagon again. It's pretty surreal to see a lot of the parallels. You know, the Lions are part of this playoff run. The Buffalo Bills, possibly
right.
Commanders, Bills. You know, as the Redskins, Bills were in 1992, January 26th of 1992, to be exact. In the Metrodome, so it goes back and brings back great memories of not only a very storied organization, but a coach and a group of guys just believed in each other. And every time I take a look on the wall at that team picture of that year and the years previous, 87, 88, when we went to the Super Bowl, my second year in the league, not knowing if I was even going to be invited back after the strike, to see this all come full circle again. And this year kind of be resurrected and heading to Philly with an opportunity to go to another Super Bowl.
You know, you said something that rings so true to me, and I've talked about this, you know, over the years. I've said, no, you don't understand that back during the glory years, it wasn't whether or not we would be in the playoffs. It was whether or not we were good enough to win the Super Bowl. The expectations were so high. And it's just completely different. This has come out of nowhere. And it's really, you know, there have been great contributors to this. And don't get me wrong, the change, I think you realize this and know this. Dan selling the team is number one in all of this. Once he left, this became possible. But the quarterback has been at the center of it. And you talked a little bit about his, you know, performance this year. Rip, I don't think we've ever seen a rookie at any position in the NFL have this kind of a season and look so unaffected by any level of pressure.
Oh, it's unreal. I've never seen anything like it. And it's just, you see him on the sidelines. You see him at the kicking the game-winning field goal the week or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, and him just sitting there and just kind of like, oh, yeah, we did it. You know, his emotions are very, very inner and then kept to himself. And he's, God-loving human and has brought so much joy to all of us, even us old farts, you know, that watch this game and just wish we had. He has on one pinky the amount of talent we had in our whole body, you know. It's just so cool to see him perform and do the things he's doing and to know that he's just such a good guy. I mean, even if he's a horrible human being, it would still be great. But he's just a wonderful human being. And that adds to it too. And so I think, you know, you're right. The fan base was spoiled in the 80s and 90s, and there's just been dying to get back. And you could kind of finally see the energy back in the building, you know, even in on the road, you know. And we played on the road and had a playoff game in Tampa there that we had a great support staff of Commander/Redskin faithful that came down there. And you're starting to see it come back to our own little barn in Maryland there, that we need to protect that place. And that place is sacred. And it was as sacred. We need to make it as sacred as it was as RFK. And now it looks like we might be going back to RFK. So, I mean, this thing just keeps getting better and better each week. But with Josh Harris and Magic and Mitchell Rails and Mark Ein
and that whole ownership group has done, and now Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the culture that they've built, it's just been just, you can't say anything other than it's been fun to watch and great to be a part of.
It really is kind of amazing to think like where we were as a fan base 2 years ago and where we are today. By the way, you know, in mentioning he's got more talent in one finger than, you know, the rest of us, the rest of you guys that played, you were obviously a very different quarterback. But let me just mention, for those that aren't old enough to have remembered Rip playing, he had the same killer competitive spirit that Jaden had, and also had the humility that Jaden had, which made him always, and you've always been this, and I've told you this before, you've always been one of my all-time favorite skins. I mean, I think about the games, like the last playoff game against the 49ers, and I played it last week because it was the when you guys rallied and almost beat the 49ers as the defending champions, and you scored on a quarterback sneak, and if you've ever watched it, it's available on YouTube. You get up and you spike the ball and you start screaming expletives. It was like this was the heart of a defending champion, and you almost got there if it hadn't been such a muddy field and the ball kind of slipped out when you were going to give it to B. Mitch. But
well, I have to tell you, I've never spiked a football before. That was just emotion coming out. And I played the whole year with a torn bicep tendon, which I'm actually going in surgery in about 2 hours to get my two full thickness tears in my left shoulder.
Oh, boy.
And bicep tendon detached and reattached. But I played most of that year and with a bicep tendon detached. So, I mean, the deep ball wasn't as good. But we still had an opportunity. If I wouldn't have put the ball on Brian Mitchell's face mask, you know, where you're not supposed to hand it to, we, you know, that hole that we had and that opportunity we had there to beat San Francisco again and head to the NFC Championship game was there. And, so yeah, it was a lot of emotion. It does come out, and you know, it's just fun being around those guys that I played with, and they bring the best out of you. As you know, Jaden will tell you, you're only as good as the guys up front, and you know, there's things he does too that makes those guys up front better. But it's just been a fun year to watch a kid play at a level that is so incredible. I knew where my pocket was. I knew where my position was and how to get it done. It wasn't being mobile. But I should say that in a way, it was also being mobile because Joe moved the pocket quite a bit. We did a lot of rollouts and sprint rolls and naked boots and things of that nature. And you have to have that because, you know, you're sitting duck all game long. If you're going to drop back seven steps and throw it all game long with these athletes that they have now and the speed that the game's at now, you're not going to do very well.
Yeah. We're talking to, of course, Super Bowl 26 MVP Mark Rippon, who was a part of some really good teams here. And really, for me, and I think a lot of others, there is a warm spot in our heart for Rip and those years that he was here, especially 91, which I still consider to be the greatest Super Bowl season and Super Bowl team I've ever seen. So, about this matchup coming up on Sunday. First of all, I'm curious, when you were watching the Rams and Eagles yesterday, if you were, did you think one of the two made for a better matchup for Washington?
Well, I think, you know, realistically, playing on turf would have probably been a better situation. You know, playing against the Rams, but, you know, they're also better on turf, too, defensively. You know, they're traction wasn't as good maybe in Philadelphia as they would have liked, and you know, their speed was kind of offset. Everyone's speed was offset except for Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's playing at another level. The only thing that bodes well with us playing in Philly, it's other than probably I wouldn't go as a Commander fan or Redskin fan to Philly. It's a tough place to play.
It's not that bad anymore. It was much worse at the Vet.
No, they had a jail back in the day.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and their fans are as good as can be. Their faithful are unbelievable, and they've had a lot to brag about for a lot of years. And so I think, you know, going and playing in Philly it bodes well for us for one reason. Is late in the game you saw that you know, Jalen Hurts got rolled up and you know, his knee was, he had to put a brace on late in the football game. So I know that, you know, that there's a lot of adrenaline. So he went out there and finished the game and played the game. But you know, you could even hear in his interview that there's some issues there, and it's going to be some swelling. There's going to be, he might have a small tear. I mean, he'll probably, knowing who he is and as tough a kid as he is and good player as he is, he's going to play, but he's probably not going to play at the level that, you know, can he pull the ball and get that 10, 15 yards, 20, 30, 40 yards that he's done? And can he do the things off play action and the, you know, with his arm that he did before? So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, how affected he is by the injury, and because he's such a big part of that. But still, they're physical. They're going to try to knock us off the football. And, you know, I think we just got to stand up to the challenge and play as good a defense as we've played. I mean, last week was a great football team, so we knew we were going to give up some plays against a pretty good team, and we made some plays against a pretty good team. And so it's always good to see our guys, and if they play the level they are, we know offensively we can do some things, as we did some things. I was at the Philly game and was excited to be a part of that. It didn't start out great, but we kept our composure and came back and even, you know, went down late in the game and came back and beat them at the end. So it was pretty surreal, and it's going to be a hostile environment, and I know our guys are going to be extremely ready, as Dan always gets them ready for a game like this.
Well, they've only had one playoff game. Washington has had one in Philadelphia, and that's one of the greatest revenge games ever, because that was a couple of months after the body bag game.
Yep, to beat them in Philly after the body bag game, which I didn't play in because I was hurt, and then
right.
Stan got hurt, Rutledge got smoked, and Brian Mitchell had to
right.
Rutledge got his face mask rearranged. It was such a brutal hit, and then Brian Mitch had to come in and finish it. So, you know, they laughed at us until the playoffs, and then we kind of had the last laugh, so that was good.
Yeah, Buddy Ryan running off the field for the last time in Philadelphia wouldn't even shake Joe's hand. That was that's one of the greatest revenge games in franchise history. All right, I'll leave you with this. First of all, best of luck on your surgery. Secondly, how good of a chance do you think we have Sunday in Philadelphia? Do you like the chances?
Yeah, I do. I like the chances, and I think, you know, it all depends on weather. I think if we got a clean field, I like our chances better. And I think, you know, we know where we're going, our traction and everything. I think we're going to be fine. If it's a little bit of a slippery surface like it was yesterday, we'd probably give the edge to them, just because they've relied on Saquon to make it happen. And they're big and physical, and so I think it bodes better for them. But you give us a ball, and we got a chance to go down score at the end of the game. Where our guy's going to get it done. He showed it all year long, and his just resilience has been incredible. And I look for him to keep playing the way he's played. And he does an amazing job when he does get out of the pocket and run. He knows when to get down. You know, he's only probably a buck 95, and he's just so wiry and elusive that. But he's smart enough too to understand that, hey, I'm not going to get hit, nor do I want to get hit, and my team needs me, and he's there at the end, and it's gonna be, I think, a great game and a hostile environment, but I think it bodes well depending on the weather.
It's always great to hear your voice. I hope you're well. Best of luck with your bicep surgery, and maybe we'll get a chance, hopefully, to talk before a Super Bowl game.
I appreciate it, Kevin. I wish it was just a bicep surgery. I wouldn't get it done. You don't need a bicep, but I do need a rotator cuff and a labrum that's torn.
So okay, well, we want to hear how it goes. I wish you the best with all of those things, and wish you weren't going through it, but best of luck, and thanks for doing this as always.
I'll see you probably teeing it up at the Mickey Steele event. So
would love it.
First time I get a club in my hand, but I look forward to it. And HTTC and HTTR, look forward to all the fans coming and cheering if you're there, and if not, watching it, because it's going to be a great one.
Love that. Thanks, Mark, very much. Appreciate it.
See you, Kevin.
Mark Rippon, everybody. Just the best. I'm telling you, those of you who aren't old enough, just a badass, tough, smart competitor. Always was, and, you know, humility through the roof, and had one of the great seasons in franchise history. All right, we only have a couple of minutes. Real quickly on the other games that we didn't talk about from the weekend, I thought Houston got completely jobbed by the officials. I'm not saying they're doing it intentionally, but some of those calls that Mahomes drew, they're absolute BS calls. The Will Anderson roughing the passer call early in the game was devastating. I thought Houston was right there, Denton. The game did stay under. That last safety was important to a few. I think the Bills are going to run the Chiefs. I know that that's insane to say to pick against Patrick Mahomes. I think the Bills are much better. I think the Ravens would have been much better, too.
I don't know. Running the Chiefs? I don't know. But I'll believe someone's going to run them when I see them.
If they don't run them, then they lose because Mahomes will find a way at the end. I thought Houston's defense was awesome in that game. The game last night, I mean, what can you say? You know, Mark Andrews fumbles, drops two passes, including the two-point conversion, which would have forced overtime. By the way, it wouldn't have necessarily forced overtime. There's still like a minute 30 left for Josh Allen to go down and get in field goal range. You can't blame this one on Lamar. He had two turnovers, and it was shaky early, but that was a hell of a drive at the end. I was glad to see him drive the team down the field and at least have that opportunity. I was fearful that he was going to throw a pick or miss a couple of receivers, and they were going to get – I think if they don't go down in the field, go down the field 88 yards with a chance to tie, the offseason narrative about Lamar is much worse.
I just can't believe he dropped that pass. I can't, like, it was right there. It's everything that you wanted as a pass. It's the guy that you wanted. I just can't believe he dropped it.
Who do you like tonight?
Give me the Buckeyes. That number 8.5 is a little long for a national championship, though we did see Georgia cover 14.5 a couple years ago. I just hope I actually have to stay up for all of this one. But I like the Buckeyes in this one, so I am going to take them at 8.5.
I picked Notre Dame to win the national championship. I don't love them tonight, though, in this matchup in particular. I don't like a side with the number either way or the total. I'm just rooting for Notre Dame. I hope it's a competitive national championship game in Atlanta. All right, we are done with our first ever show following a divisional playoff round victory on to the NFC championship game Sunday in Philadelphia. We got a good week ahead of ourselves. Enjoy the day. Chris is up next.